Welcome to the Men of Eight Gang podcast, episode 197. I'm on with, I should say my name first, Steve Borsch is me, and I'm on with Tim Freight Train Elliott.
Good morning.
Graham Billy Bob Thickens.
That's how my voice feels this morning. I'm getting over a Christmas cold.
And Phil Critter in My Undies Wilson. No? All right, all right.
Critter in My Undies.
Critter in My
Okay, well, anyway. So this is our big prediction show. And
We should probably recap the week in tech. Just what happened? Nothing.
Yeah, everyone was sleeping in. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, well. Was there any news at all?
No.
Not really.
There really
wasn't. Just the Randy Zuckerberg.
That was
an obvious plant.
Yeah.
This whole poke application is just ridiculous. The whole thing is such a ridiculous charade of just PR madness. It's just crazy.
Huh. So you think it was a plant for sure?
Absolutely, it was a plant. It's stupid.
So there you go.
Yeah, the whole thing is stupid. Zuckerberg's involvement in this stupid app, and the whole thing is just ridiculous. Yeah.
Did we actually go to the moon in 1969?
Yes, we did.
Oh, good. Thank you.
We did.
Well,
do listen to Adam Curry's podcast every week, but I don't believe everything he says.
Well, I'll tell you what. And Jesse Ventura's conspiracy theory. No, but you know what? That photo was so obviously staged.
No kidding.
And so, yeah.
I mean, come on.
Yep.
Okay.
All right.
It was a publicity stunt.
They took advantage of a slow news week.
That's yeah. true.
Yeah.
And the gullible social media.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. They did. So, I was not fooled, though.
You were not.
No.
Phil was, apparently, but I was.
Ever vigilant.
Well, you know, if it was supposed to drive me to check out the poke application. Well, it did fail because I didn't do that.
That is same here.
Yeah.
Do you have one for Android? I don't even know. And I know it's an iOS deal, but.
Yeah, I have no idea.
Since my first day on Facebook, I've always thought the idea of a poke is stupid.
Is the dumbest thing ever. Yes.
Yes, it is. It is.
It was probably the least used function of Facebook ever.
Right. It's sort of like what is that application that comes with WordPress? Hello Dolly. So just because Matt Mullenweg likes jazz music, he has this stupid plugin that's on every installation of WordPress where the words to Hello Dolly, if you turned it on, will show up.
Jeez.
Yeah. I mean, that's just, the poke is as stupid as that.
Yep.
So that's because he's a jazz fan or because he's a show tunes fan?
No, he's a jazz fan. That's why he names all of the versions of WordPress after famous jazz musicians.
Oh,
yeah.
Did not know that. I didn't know that the WordPress versions had names.
Yeah, they do. Yeah,
yeah, they do. They do, sort of like Android does.
You know? So what's the latest one?
Yeah, what's our latest version then?
I don't know. I'm going to check it out, though.
I always hear them as numbers.
Yeah, so Elvin.
Elvin.
Oh. Elvin Jones played with John Coltrane.
Oh.
In addition to others. Yeah, so each one is named after a jazz musician.
Hello Dolly, I guess I never really kind of considered that the ultimate jazz tune.
But
what are you going to do?
All right, we'll so see. let's find out.
Why we already get into a rat hole on the first 5 minutes.
I know. Let's go through our 2012 predictions, but highlight one that we hit and one that we missed.
This was a learning experience, though, guys. Come on now. Don't beat yourself up.
Learning experience.
Rat hole to some. It's a learning experience to others. And an audience loser to many.
All right. With that, Mom, why don't you go first?
Who, me?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't have very many predictions last year. So because I can't quite understand why that is. I know Tim compiled our predictions, but I seem to only have two and they were really dull. Like, I think mine was the big one. I remember last year I was the first one to say there was going to be a shakeup at the sea level management.
Yes, you did.
So
you did.
We all were going to predict it, but I happened to be the first one to do it.
Didn't know it was going to blow sky high.
and you were right.
And we were right. So, yeah, I think we were all right on that one. And
you were right about your second one, too, in a kind of a weird way.
Well, but the QR codes are going to plot along, and NFC will win long term. NFC's not on the iPhone 5, so that was kind of a setback on that.
But, but there is a case. You can get an iPhone case. It'll do NFC for you.
There you go.
Yeah, right. I'll bet you
the 5S will have NFC.
Probably so. Yeah, they were kind of waiting on that. Yeah.
Yeah.
So those were mine from last year.
Okay. Graham?
Well, I had a bunch of them last year. Unfortunately, most of them weren't real measurable, but I did say Best Buy would go outside for their next CEO, which was – not really going out on a limb, but they certainly did.
They went out country, Graham.
Really. They went with a Frenchman. But then I really missed badly on I thought between three Minnesota tech startup stars, we would see a major transaction in 2012, and we haven't yet.
No.
Although, remember, the last week of the year is always the big M&A year.
That's right.
But I said either W3I, DUAP, or Instratus will have a quote-unquote major transaction, and there hasn't been any word yet, meaning they're acquisition candidates, but W3I could be an acquirer itself, and we haven't heard anything yet, but stay tuned for another couple days. Who knows?
Yep.
Have you seen any statistics about how much angel money was invested in Minnesota?
You know, I haven't been able to find it yet for 2012 because I don't think all the data are in or measured by anyone.
Yeah, they usually recap it after the year's closed. Yeah.
It'll come out in first quarter, but I would be shocked if more angel money wasn't invested in tech startups in Minnesota in 2012 than in 2011. I mean, I would wild guess, it was up maybe 20%, but I'll be interested to see how that shakes out in the new year.
Yeah. Tim, how about you, pal?
Well, unlike Phil, who had two predictions that both were kind of right, I had three predictions, and only one of them is sort of right, and the other two are wrong. So the one I got sort of right was that Amazon would release more Kindle Fires, a larger size, and they would extend the line, which, of course, they did. And I did say that they would dominate the low end of the tablet market, which, you know, it's arguable that they might have, although I think that Google gave them a run for their money there.
With the Nexus 7?
With the Nexus 7.
Yeah.
And later the 10. But I totally missed where I thought they were going to announce a smartphone. I do think that Amazon will do a smartphone, but it'll probably come out later this year instead of last year. But my big one, the one that Phil really wants to punish me on, is that Apple will not do a smaller iPad. I listened to the show again yesterday.
And I didn't
say that Apple would not do a 7-inch. I just said Apple will not do another smaller iPad.
Oh, so, you really missed it.
Yeah, so that they'll keep the iPad 2 for the lower price, but the size will be the same, and totally missed that. So there.
Has Steve still been alive, it wouldn't have happened, I bet.
That's right.
I got one for my wife for Christmas, the iPad mini. We love it. Very cool. Did I tell you my story? I had to go to four stores to find one.
Oh, really?
So it was December 24th. I struck out at Best Buy. I go to Best Buy. Oop, we don't have them. You know.
Yeah, on Christmas Eve?
Well.
He's starting early.
Yeah, that was early for me. It was morning, for crying out loud. But anyway, so what does the guy do? I said, well, why don't you call over to Richfield? Calls over there. No, they don't have any black 16 gigs either. And he said, but I hear Target has a lot of them. And I thought, oh, I wonder if his manager would like to hear him say that. So anyway, so I go, that's okay. I'll drive over to Southdale. I get over to the Southdale Apple store. They've got one white one left. I go, I don't want white. He goes, First Tech. And I go, you're kidding. And he says, yep, I hear they got them. So I call him up. Oh, yeah, we got them. I head over to Uptown. Nice people, all ready to go, you know. Click, click, click. I'm out of there with a nice red case. She loves it.
Cool.
That was my big purchase.
Nice.
But you told her that you actually bought it months in advance, right?
No.
I got this. I waited in line for this.
That's right.
Walked right in. It was wonderful. First deck is great.
Well, there I think my big win was that the world would not end on December 21st.
Yeah, you nailed that. You nailed that.
You stuck your neck out on that one, and you won it. Yep,
it was kind of a risk. Big leap for me. But
you owned that, baby.
And the big, gigantic miss, I think, was that there'd be a cybersecurity Pearl Harbor.
what did you mean by that?
That there would be some incredible fundamental thing that would happen, like Con Edison would be taken offline because of some worm or Trojan that would basically shut down California and Arizona or whatever, wherever Con Edison is. No, they're in the Northeast, right? But that some major power company would have some gigantic disruption, something like that.
Well, I think that your prognostication skills were just a little off, because you did predict that John McAfee would be, hunted by Central American police.
That's right.
And his company does do, or the company he sold does do security software.
So is Tim not the best
Tim.
Friend ever, Steve? Is he not the best friend ever?
So you predicted John McAfee Pearl Harbor, which one saw coming at all. No one even knew that he was still alive.
That's right. Or that he had tats. Did you see that tattoo on his shoulder?
What is the tattoo of?
I don't know. It's just some curly Q thing. All right, let's get into the fun stuff. Now that we've talked about how really, frankly, mediocre we are at predictions, let's get into our 2013 predictions. Because everyone will be on the edge of their seat waiting to hear what we have to say.
Go ahead, Steve. You get to go first, since you had the worst record last year.
All right. Should we let's each go through one, and then we'll circle back and do it again, do the round robin thing. Right. No brainer. The Apple TV will hit, but I think it'll be both an HD TV display with a built-in Apple TV. But I think it'll mostly be an enhanced Apple TV box, which will be good news for those of us who just bought an LED TV.
I agree. I think they're going to make something of the Apple TV box. I just don't see them doing a TV. I'm the only one in the group here that doesn't think they're going to do a TV.
Well, among analysts too.
This year, I think they'll eventually do a TV. I just don't think it'll be in 2013. But I think that Apple TV, the box, will significantly improve this year and become a really compelling solution.
I think they'll do a TV too.
Yeah. Will it be more pricey, the Apple TV box, do you think, then?
No, I don't think so. I think all they need to do is add apps and do content deals so that, everybody that sells content will have their own app.
Okay, since that's your first prediction, can I ask you a question about your seeing into the future on a much bigger platform? Will it include live TV apps?
No.
Okay.
No. No, the Elgatos of the world will continue to play in that space.
I tell you what, I downloaded the XBMC app, the Media Center app for my Mac Mini, and I'm configuring it now. And there's obviously pirated movies as one channel that you can download, but there's also live TV.
So Define live. What do you mean live TV?
It's like switching a channel. You want to watch NBC? Here it is. You want to watch ABC? Here it is. CNN. That you just switch to it and it's streamed. Mm. So, Graham, how about you?
Oh, we're gonna skip and do round robin here.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm going to start out with an Apple prediction, too. I think they'll have blowout earnings in late January, and I think that'll kick off a great year for the stock in 2013. And I'm going to go out on a limb with a year-end price target of $800.
Yay.
Playing analyst here. So that's my Gene Munsterism for the day.
Great. Yeah, Gene Munster is the most optimistic Apple analyst out
from
there.
The Munsters? Was he on the Munsters?
Which one was he? He was Eddie.
He probably, by the way, he probably has a price target even higher than that.
Yeah. And he's probably never heard that Munsters joke. Anyway, Phil, go ahead.
Never. Okay, well, I'll skip over the first two that I had up here because I want to go with the big one first. This is my, right. But I think Ballmer is going to step down at Microsoft.
Ooh, that is a big one.
Well, I think he's going to be forced out.
Yep.
I don't think it's going to be that he's going to step down. I think he will be forced out.
Well, forced out, step down, whatever. He's gone.
I mean, they'll make it look like he stepped down.
He
decided to retire, but no, he'll be pressured out. I think he likes doing what he's doing.
Oh, I'm sure he loves to do it.
But yeah, I mean, this is a corollary to one of mine, which, you know, I've mentioned this on the show a couple of times already, which is Windows 8 will be a huge disaster. So
I don't think it's going to be disaster. I think more disappointment than disaster. But between Windows Phone 8 and Windows 8, it's just going to be too disappointing for shareholders, and Ballmer will have to exit.
Well, you know, he's got a net worth of like $14 billion. So.
Yeah.
I think he'll be okay.
He'll do okay. He can get a house next to John McAfee down in Belize.
There you go.
And a tattoo.
And a tattoo. Yeah.
And a 20-year-old girlfriend.
That's right. All right. Am I up?
You're up.
Okay. I'm going to skip over one, and I'm going to go right to my third one, which is the page maker for HTML5 will debut. I think that we'll see... a really great tool to develop, web app like and mobile device like applications with a layout tool. We're really desperately missing that.
Any predictions of which tool it might be or which company might uncork something like that?
Well, I think the most likely candidate is our pals at Adobe.
Yeah, I think they're fairly close with PhoneGap right now.
Well, I think they are, but it's still developer-centric. And to be the page maker for HTML5 means, you know, Tim Elliott can buy the tool and use it and actually build a business on top of it and create content.
Okay.
That will be cool
all right.
to have.
Well, hope we see that.
Mr. Tim.
Well, a couple of years ago, I said that I think it was 2011 will be the year of the tablet, and it was the year of the iPad. I think that 2013 will be the year of the sub $200 tablet, and probably sub $100, and that Android will grow their share significantly in the tablet market as a result, because Apple will not play in that the sub $200 or sub $100 market at all.
Yeah,
right.
So when you say significant tablet market share, significant is what?
30-40%.
I mean, I think they're going to get 30-40%?
Yeah. As soon as we see a good $99 tablet, which it looks like we're going to see next month at CES from
Acer.
And Acer.
I thought it was, yeah.
Yeah, both of them are doing. One is a $150 one, and the other one's $99. So I think that both of those will significantly drive demand. Because when you get to $150 or $99, you get into the impulse buy realm,
right?
You know?
I'd buy one for that as a second tablet.
Look what happened with the Kindle when they went below $100. I mean, because the Kindle. I mean, we bought a Kindle 2 for my son, and it was like $350, you know? And then we bought him one this year to replace the Kindle 2 that blew up that was like $80, I think, or $90, whatever it was, you know?
Talk about a market that's tanking. E-readers down 36%.
Right, but 2012. I think for reading books, I think it's still a great solution because you get battery life, and it's better for reading outside and all that stuff, so... So I think that there's still a niche for e-readers, but for these tablets, I think that it's just going to blow the market open. And I think that Apple will start to lose tablet market share for the first time.
Well, it's inevitable.
Let's just define this for clarity of mocking next year. What what are we defining as market? Global or national?
Well, both. I think.
Okay,
I
so
think,
global is the global market.
Well, yeah, the tablet market is a global market.
Okay. Well, I'm just asking.
I think we will see a lot of action here in the U.S. And it won't be these white box, you know, crappy tablet deals, which have had $50 tablets
You think that the Android tablets are gonna double their market share?
Yes.
In a year.
Yep.
Wow.
Yep. Well, only 25% of the market have tablets. Right now.
Yeah, but like 87% of them have Apple iPads.
That's today.
Yeah. Okay.
A lot of people got these $200 Nexus 7s and by this time next year, it'll be those Nexus 7s for $200 will probably be $150, $130, whatever they will be. And there will be a lot of other ones that will be less than that will be good, that will be usable. You know, like we see with the under $100 Kindles now, which are like good and usable products.
It's a growing pie, that's for sure.
Okay, Billy Bob, what's your next one?
Is that me?
Yeah, well, Billy Bob Thickens. Yeah.
Okay. It's like I'm kind of dozing off here on the cold medicine, so you'll have to wake me up every once in a while. Here we go.
Wait a second. Is that a caveat for your predictions?
It is.
No,
it is.
No, yeah, actually, Graham was. Well, oh, he's going to use us. Wait,
he's going to use us as an excuse next year. You'll say, but I was drugged. I was all drugged up on cold medicine.
I was compromised. Yes, okay. I'm going to go.
Drink too much cold syrup.
I'm going to say that Best Buy will indeed go private. Ooh. And they'll begin divesting massive amounts of real estate. And because of the continuing decline in bricks and mortar retail, commercial real estate will continue to tank in 2013.
That's a broad prediction there, my brother.
It's branching into
real estate.
It's retailers like Best Buy, the pressure on bricks and mortar that's going to hurt the commercial real estate industry pretty badly. There's going to be a lot of property on the market, and it isn't going to be just Best Buy. You know, it's the coming age of obviously online commerce is growing dramatically, and the only growth in any brick and mortar kind of stuff is these pop-up stores, it would seem. So the age of the big box is continuing to dwindle away.
I buy that. Mr. Phil.
Is it my turn again?
Of course.
Well, just briefly, my stance is that it's going to stay an iPad market. So that's not another year. Yeah, it's another year. Yeah. But I do think the Chromebook is going to spark sort of a little netbook rebirth. Just from the concept of now it's going to be basically the Chromebook rather than a netbook. I think it's larger, sort of that. I think the Chromebook is going to do very well.
Yeah, because it's cheap.
Because it's cheap.
Yeah.
And it's full size, and it's, you know, not the teeny little piece of crap that most netbooks were. So.
You know how I'll know that is true? When Jeff Pesik starts using a netbook again.
All right.
Rim shot.
Oh, yep.
I'll leave it up to you to check on that.
Okay. All right, so
I didn't know he was using a netbook, but okay.
Well, yeah, he was for a long time.
Okay.
Then he went Air. He went MacBook Air.
Ah.
He got religion.
All right, so here's...
Brad, get to that $800 price.
Here's a big one for me. I'm gonna go to my fourth and fifth. This is kind of a two-parter. So the Internet of Things is going to hit mainstream media. And really become a big deal. Everybody will be talking about Internet of Things because their stuff will ship. But as part of that, Intel's Moore's Law radio, they put a Wi-Fi transceiver on a chip, and it's going to support Y-Gig, which will be 7 gigabits per second over Wi-Fi. And it also support all these other protocols like Zigbee and Z-Wave, stuff that SmartThings is using, and the other startups like Spark. They're using these sorts of technologies, and I think it's going to be huge in 2013.
Is that an Intel chip we're talking about?
Yeah, it debuted in September at a industry conference, and they're called, if you just, I'll put a link in the show notes to an article on it, but it's a complete Wi-Fi transceiver on a chip, and the reason they're calling it Moore's Law Radio is that, you know, every 18 months they'll be able to make it smaller and cheaper, and eventually it'll be in everything.
Wi-Fi so, everywhere.
Yeah. Love yeah, it. Wi-Fi with multiple protocols. So that's probably the big thing, because regardless of what comes out, it'll be able to be upgraded so you can handle all these other protocols.
Beautiful.
So I think the first hubs will ship in 2013.
Nice.
Okay. Tim? I think Internet of Things the Internet of Things is a safe bet.
Yeah. Well, speaking of the Internet of Things, I think that we're going to see wearable electronics really go mainstream. It'll come out of the Kickstarter Pebble Watch style thing, and people like Apple and Google and others will make small devices that will be companion devices for status and looking at various bits of information.
Are you including Google Glasses in that?
Yeah, but that's a much more ambitious, okay, much more expensive sort of thing. I'm looking at something that would be similar to the Pebble or similar to the old iPod Nano, so a small clippable type of a device that would have Bluetooth, that would be connected to your other devices like your smartphone, and would be basically for just displaying status. So you could have the time, you could have the weather, you could have SMS messages, you know, other status updates, Twitter, whatever, on a small clippable thing. And I think we'll see Apple do something in like $150, $199 price point.
And that could kill the Pebble, huh? Especially if it's a watch. And I saw a nice Asian rumor that Intel and Apple were working on a watch. It was just reported by the Next Web. Rumor only, but you know, you have to wonder when something like that is going to come.
Well, this toenails neatly into one of my predictions, which is I will actually finally receive my Pebble watch sometime in 2013. Oh,
poor Phil.
Is it going out that far?
Could be late in the year. I don't know. They are, you know, coyly not mentioning when it's going to ship. They get burned on that too many times, so they're not saying anything as far as shipping. Just giving updates on, test runs and molding and things like that. So.
And that dovetail. Is it my turn next?
Yep.
That dovetails nicely into one of mine. Speaking of Kickstarter. There has obviously been a huge amount of talk about Kickstarter and related platforms for quote unquote crowdfunding. And the bloom is going off that rose, unfortunately, in a number of ways. One of which is delays in products being shipped, and people are starting to realize that, you know, a project on Kickstarter isn't a product. It's a wish and a prayer in a lot of cases. But beyond that, in a much larger context, the crowdfunding promise of the Jobs Act will continue to be talked about a lot, but it will not become law in 2013. I see no way. Maybe 2014, but there's a lot of regulatory crap that's got to be dealt with before we ever see people being able to, you know, non-accredited investors like all of us poor bloggers being able to invest in startups small amounts of money for equity. It's a long way from happening.
Well, do you think that it has to do with not being able to really understand how they're going to put it in the bill?
Right.
How they can actually make it into a bill, and
the SEC will be you know, going over all that, you know, it for a long, long time, if it can ever happen, you know. I mean, that's why all the securities laws were set up in the first place, to protect investors from being scammed.
Yeah.
You know, and that's why we have things like rules that about accredited investors, you know, what is it, a minimum of $200,000 a year in income, or a net worth without real estate of $1 million. That makes you an accredited investor, and you can do whatever in the hell you want. You can join all these angel networks that we have locally here, which seem to keep proliferating like mad.
No.
And you can write checks to startups, and you can get the Minnesota Angel Tax Credit. But everybody else that doesn't fit that classification cannot invest easily, certainly not through crowdfunding platforms, you know, just because it's not going to be allowed. I mean, the law isn't going to be allowing it for a long, long time, if ever. But that doesn't mean that Kickstarter and Indiegogo and all the others, where you can pre-order a product that you think might actually get shipped someday.
Yeah.
You know, that'll continue. And, you know, and with Kickstarter, it's funny money, because the ones that don't make it, your card never gets hit. Now, with Indiegogo, watch out. Your money goes whether they hit their goal or not. So, you know, it's investor beware, you know.
Well, Phil, what is this one here that finally cross-dressing will become mainstream? What is that one for you?
Well, right now it's limited to Saturday nights, so I would like to see it be more. Oh, is that just
you should, move to the Bay Area.
Is, you know, Lori's been complaining about her. She's missing everything out of her top drawer. Anyway.
You are an odd, odd man, Steve Ford. So it's my turn?
Yep.
It's my turn.
It's your turn.
I get to make a turn. I say that there's going to be some form of major internet security legislation passed. However, no one's going to be happy about it. You know, it will be probably just sort of a, well, we got to pass something. Let's throw something out there that'll be virtually ineffective and probably pointless.
Internet security, at what level? Like at the hosting level or at the individual computer level? Or
I think it just from the privacy standpoint level. I think and to strengthen our own security nationally. So it's a very broad reaching goal or broad reaching
prediction.
Yeah.
Safe prediction. So you know there's going to be something introduced. So.
You know what, though, Phil, is what I find really fascinating is I put in a plugin in some WordPress sites called WordFence, and it shows pages not found, and I can lock out people if they put in the wrong username. So I do that on blogs where I'm the only one running it. And so it's been interesting to watch the attacks come in from all of these Eastern Bloc, former Eastern Bloc countries, and China, Malaysia, and so on. Just, I mean, by the hundreds, and trying anything they can to get in. And that's just you know, some WordPress sites. So you can imagine the attacks that the federal government has going on. And the only concern that I've got is that internet security or cybersecurity is going to be just as nebulous as the war on terrorism.
Agreed.
You know, and we can just, you know, it's what a boon for the security companies and the defense contractors who can just say, yeah, you know, we need $300 million this quarter.
You know, it'll escalate to, you know, the Y2K level of frenzy. Maybe not in 2013, but they'll constantly be looking for ways to address it. And again, nobody's going to be happy with it, you know?
Yeah.
So it's because it's so hard to define and it's so ever changing. You know, once you figure one way of protecting somebody's privacy, there's a crack for that or, you know, a hack for it. So it's a very difficult passing legislation on technology will continue to be a challenge. But I think a lot of it is going to be driven by the fact that the more and more things people do mobily, you know, they start working, you know, they start doing more banking on, you know, on phones, they become more worried about malware, and then all of a sudden it becomes a political issue. So,
yeah,
is it malware or malware?
Malware.
For a minute, I thought you were talking about the Mall of America. Where
it's what you wear. But you've said that to me before. But
yeah, what you wear to the mall.
You are probably very, very correct there, Graham. It is probably malware, but I've always called it malware. I don't know why.
Well, that's a more correct French pronunciation.
Yes,
yours is.
You know, speaking of that, Tim, what do you think about the malware attacks on Android? Because significant in comparison to iOS.
I think it's overblown, personally.
Do you? Okay.
Most of the malware that you get on Android comes from, you know, pirating Android apps, which you should be.
Gotcha. You shouldn't be doing anyway.
Should be buying them or not? Definitely not installing stuff off some, you know, whatever offshore site that has the APK there for you. So I've not seen a major Android malware come from either the Play Store or the Amazon Market, the two that, you know, that I use to get apps. So as long as you stick with the main marketplaces, I think you're going to be in good shape.
Well, there's a 2013 security threat report from Sophos, the security analytics firm, that showed that almost 10% of Android devices in the U.S. have experienced a malware attack over a three-month period in 2012, compared to about 6% of PCs.
Cool.
And those are
Windows PCs.
Yeah, yeah. But to your point, I mean, if people are downloading stuff from anywhere, then they're getting what they deserve.
Yeah,
especially if it's pirated stuff.
That's part of the beauty of Android, is it's totally open, and the openness means that you can get hacked. You know, you have to be careful.
Tim, are you using any anti-malware apps on your Android?
No, because I found that the one that is most popular that we put in the notes.
Avast?
Yeah, no, not Avast.
Not Avast.
What was it? The one that helps you find it too. It was in the notes a few weeks ago. That it tends to slow the device down and make it somewhat unstable. So I took it off. I don't find that malware is a big problem. So, and I've got, you know, 200 apps on this Nexus 7, and I've not seen any problems with any of them, except for, ironically, the one app that you put in there to scan for viruses.
Oh, how funny.
Yeah. It was a performance problem. So I just said, you know what? I'm just not going to have that on there for now anyway. So if I see a problem, I'll stick it back on. It's a free app. It's not, you know, it's not like.
Tim, while you're talking there, got any predictions? Roll out another prediction.
Yeah, I'm getting down to the end. I think that we're going to see Windows Phone 8 become that third OS, mobile OS. And it's going to be, not because it's a great system, although I do think it is a pretty good operating system, very innovative, all of that stuff. I think it'll just be more for by default than it will be for anything else.
Yeah, because RIM is going to continue to plummet and.
Yeah, I don't see RIM going anywhere good next year, and so I just think that they're going to completely implode, and we're going to see Microsoft just there, you know, behind Android, behind iOS, in a distant third place.
So you don't think BlackBerry 10 has a chance of doing anything?
No, I really don't. Yeah. I don't see anything good happening for RIM, except maybe. They can maybe they'll be acquired by Microsoft or somebody else, or Nokia, or you know, someone like that. I don't know. I just don't see them surviving through the year, given where they are right now. I mean, they're so late. I mean, they're you know, a couple years late in doing BlackBerry 10. Yeah. I just think it's pretty much over. And you look at their earnings every quarter, and it's just, you know, it's a sad story.
Well, I used a Windows Phone 8. Verizon got me one. Albert Marucci picked one up for me, and I did a review on their site, Verizon's regional site, and I was really impressed by it. A little too much eye candy for me in terms of the swiping and so forth, but very intuitive, very fast. It was a Nokia Lumia 820, and it was a nice phone. I liked it. And the thing is, if you look at a lot of people like my wife, who uses about 15 apps, that's it. I mean, something like that would be perfect for her because everything that she uses is on that device. And there are a lot of people like that. They just want a tool and they don't really care about 200 apps, or like me, I have like 315 on my iPhone. So, Mr. Graham.
Yeah, well, I've actually got a couple. I was going to hark back to the cross-dressing in the Bay Area comment for one of mine, and it's that more Minnesota-born techies will leave Silicon Valley to return to our state to start companies or work here than vice versa.
So you're saying and that they've basically gone through their wardrobe and they have to come back.
They're sick
home.
Of the cross-dressing and they're coming home. But no, on a more macro level, this is just a small part of the general business exodus from California, which will accelerate.
It is. Well, especially there was an article in the Wall Street Journal about the Great California Exodus.
Yep, that's the one I was going to cite. Yep.
Were you? Yeah, and yep. And it's just like everybody's, you know, the taxes are freaking horrendous. Everybody out, and yeah, and California is so unbelievably upside down in terms of debt that I don't know how they're ever going to get out of it.
It's been called our own little Greece, but the thing is, I think it's a lot bigger than Greece's economy. Is it not? It's got to be. Isn't it like the sixth largest in the world like that? So, yeah. But, you know, that means, you know, we'll have more Minnesotans coming home and it'll build a stronger Minnesota tech community.
Yep.
And I got one more, or do we have another? I've got a really good one. Should I continue with that, or are we still going?
Go for it. Just go for it, Graham.
Okay, I think one of the biggest trends that is really just starting to take shape is this whole context-aware technologies trend, and it will continue to advance in 2013, you know, driven by the big players and a whole raft of startups that you haven't heard much about yet, but they're out there. And this is basically about information finding you just when you need to know it. Because, you know, let's face it, we all need to declutter and denoise our lives. And a fascinating predictions article appeared just a week or so ago in Fast Company. It was Frog Design, and it was their a lot of their executives around the world writing on a specific topic. And one of their folks from Italy, as a matter of fact, wrote about how apps will tend to become invisible because of this context-aware trend. You know, where we don't need 315 apps on our phone. You know, we're all apped out. We just need the right information at the right time. And that I think is a huge mega trend that is not going away anytime soon. So that's me. I'm done.
Well, you know, to sort of add credence to that, there was saying also in Fast Company something about the patent war. You know, that Google, now this is back in 2009, about how Google and Apple were vying for context-aware smartphone dominance. And, you know, the kicker is a lot of the stuff that was patented hasn't come to fruition, but a lot has, you know, especially with location-based apps and so forth. So, how do you see that manifesting? I mean, how do you see that coming out? Will it be more notification-based where a bunch of apps will coordinate with one another? I don't really...
It's all about intelligent notifications. It's like, you know, we don't need more push notifications, more dumb push notifications. We're sick of them. You know, we shut them all off. Don't haven't we talked about this before?
Yeah.
We just shut the damn things off. Okay, well, what's the next step? Well, it's got to be intelligent notifications, and it's all about AI, you know. It's and it's coming. It's going to take time, but, you know, and Scoble's written and done podcasts and interviews about this. You know, he thinks, and I believe it, that Steve Jobs didn't buy Siri for the damn reactive voice assistant. He bought it because he knew what was, he saw what was coming. And it's all about, you know, this context-aware intelligent notifications thing. That's where it's going. And Apple is secretly working on it, I will guarantee you. We're not hearing about it, of course, but we know that Google's working on it. They've already thrown a product out there, Google Now, right?
Yeah. You know what's funny about that is almost all the text messages that I send, I actually dictate. So when I pull up the keyboard, I press the microphone and dictate the SMS. And sitting on my dock on my iPhone is the Google Search app, which has phenomenal voice recognition. And when I'm in the car, I just touch voice, and the Bluetooth is connected to the microphone in my car, and I just ask for whatever I want. And 95% of the time, it's perfect. Sometimes wow. I have to tweak it a little bit, but of course, I pull over when I do that.
Oh, sure.
Just like Phil, you know, he always stops when he's making a phone call.
And causes accidents when he slows down to 20 with grandma in the slow lane.
Yep. Well, Phil, so what's
that, your... I was just going to say that you know, Google Now, which is part of Jelly Bean, is an interesting idea, which is based upon your activity in search, in a location, it provides you with information that you didn't really know that you needed. You know, if you're going on a trip, let's say, so in your Gmail account, you got a confirmation from a hotel and a car rental place and your flight. What happens is in your card area of Google Now is you get these little cards that show you, you know, the flight information. Show you information about, you know, the other things that you have. So it organizes information based upon your search and email behavior and where you are. So it knows where you are every
location
time. So
it can
do things like tell you, you know, how long it will take you to get home if you're at work, and it looks at the data from not only distance but also traffic and all sorts of stuff. So, you know, Google has so much information that doing something like that is, you know, relatively easy for them. I just don't know if Apple has all that information to do that sort of same thing, which I think they really need to in order to be competitive.
Well, either that or the pieces and parts need to really learn from what we're putting into them.
Right.
So that we can be the intelligence that are putting it in, but that the device remembers all this stuff.
Yeah, that's the key.
That's the key, because then they don't have to have it in the cloud. Because I got to tell you, I still have issues with iCloud. Love the concept, but I'll send a message and it'll go through iCloud from my Mac, and somebody might get it, you know, 20 minutes later.
Yeah,
and it never happens. Yeah, it never happens on a phone. So,
you know, with so much money, you would think that Apple would be hiring all sorts of people from Google and Yahoo and Microsoft.
That data center people, I think they are.
Yeah, that have done these massive, you know, server apps. You know.
Yep. Yeah. They better be, they're building the data centers as fast as they can do it too, I think.
Yep.
I hope. We talked about that one in upstate New York, I think, that they're possibly building.
All right, Mr. Phil, you're on, buddy boy.
Okay, probably my last big one is there's going to be a rewrite to current copyright fee structures. And, you know, they're going to wake up and realize, hey, we can't have businesses grow like Pandora, Spotify, et cetera, without changing it from a per listener price to a
flat
percentage
fee
of revenue.
Okay.
Percentage of revenue. So,
okay.
I think that they're just going to have to, because it's going to push too many internet companies out of business.
Yep. Well, my last one was Apple will debut the first MacBook Air with a hybrid OS X iOS capability.
Yeah.
And it'll happen in 2013. Well, I mean, I knew they were going to probably do it within a couple of years, and I think they're going to take the first step in 2013. I'm just not sure how I feel about it. Because I need all these tools and I can't see, like on my little MacBook Air, it'd be cool if it was a touch screen. I could fold it flat like a tablet. That would be really awesome. But as long as it was both iOS and OS X, so I could get in and do all the terminal stuff I do and use Photoshop and InDesign and all the things that I have to do, because I need both. Now, one could say, well, gee, Steve, that's what Metro, you know, on Windows 8 was all about, was mm-hmm. putting the two together, and people really resisted it. And I think they really resisted it because it was just sort of thrown out there as this new thing, and the world wasn't ready. Even Windows users weren't ready, and I know I'm not ready yet, so they're going to have to take some pretty tentative steps.
Yep.
Tim, okay. are you all, I'm done. You're out of ammo, aren't you, buddy?
I'm out. Yeah.
Okay.
Several of my other ones we've mentioned in various other predictions. So.
Okay.
Yeah. Same here. Except that I am predicting that Steve Borsch will buy a 3D printer this year.
Really? Okay. Yeah. All right.
Cause you're just going to need to have the gadget.
I think I'll actually buy an Android tablet before I buy a 3D printer.
You think so, huh?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, especially when they get to be $100, right?
Right. Yeah, the big thing for me is...
printers or the...
No, the Android tablet.
Yeah.
The printers, the printers are going to be way too expensive.
Well, see, the thing is that what I really want is a replicator, like on Star Trek. And
yes, you've spoken many times.
Yeah,
Steve.
Rather than some little be able to print some little plastic thing and watch it do its thing. Hey, that's really cool. But I want to do more.
Well, aren't 3D printers getting down to like $300-$400 now?
Yeah, but I mean everything's relative. I mean, at one point, I almost bought a Tektronix color printer, and it was $11,000. And resisted doing that. And then about a year later, Epson came out with an inkjet that was $2,200 that did phenomenal photos. And Fuji came out with their Fuji film, whatever it was called, the 100-year life paper. And if I'd bought the big color printer, I would have basically thrown away about $9,000. So... Hmm. All right.
I got one funny one.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to go out on a limb and predict by year end 2013, Minovate will be acquired by a new firm, nonpaidcontent.org.
Okay. That's
which
good.
Which will rise out of the ashes of paidcontent.org, which is now part of GigaHome. No, that was
kind of the unconference of...
Yes.
Business models.
Content.org. Buy that one before someone else.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. All right. Well, so what's coming up? Because you know what? We're going to have to start talking about January stuff.
Oh, yeah. Well, the big one.
The big data one?
The big data event at Carlson on January 21st continues to build steam with... close to, I think, 600 attendees already signed on. They're still looking for good speakers for breakout sessions. But it should be a blowout event with people coming from all over the place for that one, meaning elsewhere in the country as well.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that'll be good. All day January 21st, a Monday.
Yeah, that'll be good. WordPress MSP on January 24th at the Nerdery.
How often are you going to those, Tim?
Once a quarter.
Okay.
Yeah, I may go more often this year. I mean, you know, we'll see.
Yeah, I haven't been for a while.
Then there's the Midwest PHP conference.
Yep.
In March, as well as Mobile March on the 21st of March. Tickets are still at the early bird price for that if you want to check out MobileMarchTC.com.
Does that have anything to do with Twitter? Early bird pricing? or not?
Yes. No, not at all.
Okay.
It's just a holdover from, I don't know.
It's a bird of another feather.
It's a bird of another. It's cheaper. Let's just say that. It's cheaper.
Like there you go. Cheap, cheap.
Cheaper.
All right. Well, so, everyone, thank you for listening to
the Minivate Gang podcast.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Always accusing me of doing wrong. I say you're playing with my mind, woman. You're always accusing me of doing wrong. I can see your lights on, baby, but I can't see nobody home. Now here come my mother-in-law. It's the same thing every day. Ever since we've been married, baby, she tried to drive me away, yeah. Now you're still accusing me, babe. Accusing me of doing wrong. I can see your lights on, baby, but I can't see nobody home. I got to go to work downtown. If I get home a little late, baby, you say I'm out messing around. Now you're still accusing me, baby. Accusing me of doing wrong. I can't see your lights on, baby, but I can't see nobody home.
Thank you.